The moment our fingers are in action, they are connecting with each other, by unconsciously, we are also creating mudras for ourselves. We are getting in touch with materials and things, and we are stimulating the pointers on our fingers. And now, if the pointers on the fingers during the kid's development are in the growing stage and we do not give them enough to do with the hands, and we do not adopt hand things done versus technology, we are not introducing them to connect to themselves and things around them.
Wow.
So lesser the technology, best is the child's growth. Because while I'm connecting with things around and myself, I'm also creating neuro patterns in my brain.
Hi, welcome to Partners in Upbringing. I'm Kalyani.
I'm Himani.
And we are parents just like you.
Always on a lookout. So come join us in our endeavor as we connect with parenting experts and fellow inspiring parents to know the best practices for raising happy and confident children.
Visit partnersinupbringing.com for podcasts, videos, blogs, and to connect with experts. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Partners in Upbringing.
You can listen to us on your favorite podcasting app, Partners in Upbringing, your trusted partner in your parenting journey.
Welcome to the 47th episode of Partners in Upbringing. Today we are going to talk about the crucial role of arts in the development of our children. It is a very scientific and unique perspective, and we will find answers to what all is art. Art as a tool of expression. Observing our child's art choices to help choose the right career path. Art as a medium to connect and develop the six senses and the four quotients. Importance of sensory play and the neuroscience behind it. Role of technology and actionables for us parents, and much, much more. And to do so, we have got a highly experienced guest with a diverse profile. We've got an opportunity to interact with our guest for the day three times till now on a different platform. And every minute of those conversations have been extremely delightful and enlightening to us. And it's a pleasure that today she's agreed to be on Partners in Upbringing podcast.
Absolutely. I'm so amazed by her clarity and compassion. And actually, it's so calming to meet someone with so much stillness in today's fast-paced life.
It's my pleasure to introduce Ms. Sarita Dimte. Sarita is an artist, an art therapy practitioner, a design mentor, a clinical psychologist, and a counselor. She is based in Pune and is the founder of Ritu's Composition, a space developed for learning creatively on the pedagogy of STEAM, which is science, technology, engineering, arts, and mathematics.
Sarita has mentored and shaped the learning journeys of many children and parents through exploration and experimentation with art and design. Through her mentoring, she weaves the threads of value, imagination, culture, and creative processes. As a result of her mentoring, her mentees have graduated from the top design universities and institutes from India and abroad. Hi, Sarita. Welcome to Partners in Upbringing. It's a privilege to be with you today.
Hello and hi, everyone. And hello, Himani. Hello, Kalyani. And it's a pleasure again that I'm able to share a lot of things that I have experienced while I've been working with kids. And it's a very nice platform that you guys have created, which is Partners in Upbringing. It's very important, I believe. And thank you very much. Before I start with anything, you can just go ahead and tell me, what am I supposed to do so that I can help other people with their upbringings of the kids?
Thank you so much. Sarita, as an artist, as an art therapist, and someone who has been counseling children and parents, what do you believe is the role of art in the overall development of a child?
So, let me say a statement that art is not crayons only. Art is so if we look at art in a very holistic way, it is nothing but a tool that is being empowered to all of us right from a birth to live a life in a particular way. And why do I say that as a tool? Because everything that we do around us is nothing but art. It has aesthetic, it has a way to do, it involves tools, it involves medium, and it involves expression, which is the most important element of our life altogether. Mm. And if we are talking about it, as adults, we have learned languages, we have more openness, we have an element of understanding that we feel we understand, but yes, an understanding, and we are able to do. But that does not happen with kids. With kids, especially to the age of 8 to 10 years, their expression matters, they expressing matters, they expressing in every aspect matters, because they are full of emotions, and when they express, they understand how that expression can help them grow, groom, learn, connect, understand themselves and the world. And art becomes a very important element of expression. That's where it becomes a very important subject matter. It needs to be in the things that they do every day. That's why if you look at the kids' world, it's the most colorful world.
Yes.
It's completely having lots of shapes and forms. It has textures. It has compositions. It has combinations. And it is done in the most fun way. I wish the fun continues in all our life. And they're learning. And they are yet connecting with many things. So, for example, they do a lot of role modeling. Mm. And when they do role modeling, we have small kits for them. We have a creating their homes, dollhouse, dolls of males and females, car models, a lot of things. And if they are not there, then the child you'll find takes anything and actually you makes it like a car or a bus their creativity is at a very high pedestal, and that they explore through expressing, and art becomes a major tool for expressing. Hmm. And that's why it's very, very important that art becomes a part of the child's life, because all the five elements of art are seen in every aspect of our life.
Very important point you've mentioned here, Sarita. What I'm just curious to know is, for example, my son, instinctively, he doesn't pick up any art material. But yes, I know that I want him to use art, as you mentioned, to express himself, to draw his dreams, to tell what is happening in his mind. So how can I encourage him to use art when I know that he doesn't pick up crayons, pens, brushes very instinctively?
This question is very important, I believe, because here I feel art is very compartmentalized by just saying that colors exist only in paints and crayons and color pencils. That's not the case. We see colors in every area of our life, in nature. So if a child does not pick up a color in the color form, there are many other ways that the child can pick up a color. So if the child, let me put it this way, that in our culture, when I say culture, it is in every culture. We call it in our this thing as an Hindu culture, because we have specified it. We say we have 64 art forms that we have.
64.
And these art forms, 64. Okay. And when we say, what are these 64? Then they are right from cooking, carpentry, masonry, pottery, drawing and painting, visual art, performing art, nursing, housekeeping, fixing certain things, right, from electronics to a puncture work, or sculpting, then along with that, stitching, tailoring. So there's a list of it. Blacksmithy, jewelry making, doing anything with weaving, cutting and pasting, all of this are art. Now, if a child does not pick up a crayon, that does not mean he does not take an art. If he doesn't pick up a color, that does not mean he's not doing an art. He has a different tool that he will take to do the art. And that's very, very important for us to identify. Art becomes one of the major elements for us to understand that they further help us to see which is the career choice that the child would want to take. Because if he understands construction, deconstruction, you'll find he's taking up engineering. And what do we give him? We give him Lego, we give him blocks, we give him mantling and dismantling things. You'll find that, yeah, you'll find that even if you leave the child in the kitchen, he will take bowls and he'll start arranging and putting them like a tower. Mm. If you left him to play in sand, he'll make a tower and a fort and so many things in an advanced way. This all is art. What is to be kept in mind, and a very simple understanding is, art is nothing but connecting to the five sensories. Rather, we have six sensories. I'll talk about the five because everyone knows about it. There are five sensories, and these five sensories are honed, are developed, are identified, are made more better by getting connected to it. And art becomes the medium to connect to it. And the five sensories are audio, we are able to hear, visual, we are able to see, touch, we are able to feel everything, smell, because everything has fragrance, and taste. And all these five are very, very important, and art brings in these into highlight and they develop. And which is the sixth one? When a person enjoys what he is doing, he is also developing a sixth sensory, and that is spirituality. Or connecting to self. Spirituality, not religion. Spirituality is way to live life. And how do we live life? We actually see whether we are getting into, again, we are coming back to four quotients. We have an IQ quotient. So whatever we see, learn, absorb, we apply. EQ quotient, emotional, because we have to connect to it. Then is CQ quotient, because we create solutions and perspectives and ways to look at things. And the fourth is the AQ quotient, that is adversity. So when we are able to look at the way of life in the four ways, we need four sensories to bring in a lot of things. So your sensories are connected to your quotients, and the quotients come up with different ways we deal with our life. We create solutions for ourselves. We don't get into adversities, and we look at life in a fun way. Art is fun. Art is colorful. Art brings you a solace and a bliss. And so does you living in the life in a very blissful, fun way. So even if it a problem comes, can I solve it in a little creative way? Like a fun is what we are trying to teach the child. So art plays a major role in the upbringing of the child, and art must not be compartmentalized by just looking at colors in color box, but colors looking at in outside.
If you are enjoying this conversation, please subscribe to us and give us a 5-star rating on the platform you're listening to. Thank you.
So somebody likes to collect stones, and what happens then? Are you talking about the texture of the stone, smell of the stone, minerals of the stone? How are we going to look at shape, size, color, weight of it? Where does it be connected to something? So all that is going to come. So if you leave a child in the nature and he likes to collect leaves, he likes to collect shells. See, we all have hobbies, and collecting becomes one of the hobbies. Yes. That we do. Somebody collects keychains, somebody collects something that is in nature, somebody collects stamps, somebody. So what? Seeds. Yeah. there are so many ways so many kids collect. So what is honing of hobbies is now bringing us to connect to it. So all hobbies have art as its base.
Mm.
Though there are colors and paints not directly used in it, but everything has everything of art that is there. And the five elements of art are nothing but line, basically. So we see lines. Lines create shapes. Shapes, when have a volume, length and breadth and height, they become forms. The third is colors. And before colors, it's also having a tonal value. So dark, light, middle. And the fifth one is, so dark, middle, light also create textures, because the light falling on it will create textures. And the fifth is space, because everything. And everything, five elements is also the same thing. Five sensories are also leading to the same thing. And four quotients with the last quotient also leading to the same thing. The last quotient is again spirituality. So art is, we actually live art every single day in our own spaces, in our own ways, with our own tools. So if we do solve a problem with fun, we love it. If we don't, then we look at it as a hassle.
Wow. When you said this, you know, all I'm getting reminded of is, we say that a human being's true nature is love. I almost want to say that the human being's true nature is arts, you know, because
it is
so connected with us as, you know, living beings. Everything that we do, you just said that, and whether it is engineering or everything, it is just trickling down to that one pot, which is the art.
Correct. See, as simple as, even if a child becomes an engineer and he's working as a, let's say, a mechanical engineer, and is making a product and a tool, all the elements of art are coming, right?
Yeah.
Shape comes, line comes, form comes, yes. Texture comes, color comes, utility comes, because space decides the utility, or utility decides the space.
Yes.
It's one and the same.
And thank you so much for listing down everything, because then as a parent, it gives us a cue as to what question should I ask my child? How should I encourage him to look at the same thing, or stretch his thoughts on a different dimension, be it the quotients you mentioned or the parameters you mentioned. So thank you so much for that.
Okay. Sarita, I actually wanted to go back to your first answer when you had said, you know, art is a tool to express for children. Like you said, that we can say, we can talk, we can draw, we can whatever, we are equipped to do that, but children are not. So it's very important for them to understand themselves of what's going on inside me, and that happens with art, and that becomes their expression, that becomes their way of talking. So it basically gives them a clarity of in their own mind. Is that right?
Perfectly right. We all start expressing when we are already in the gestation period. And we have limitations over there. Hence, we express only in that given tools. The moment we are out into the world, we get into the audio, visual and kinesthetic. Though I can't speak, but I make noise, I cry. And as I learn to express in a certain way, add more tools to me, I start murmuring, saying words, making words as meanings. And then I start taking words and I start putting into sentences. And I start. So we are living in a life of completely a life of learning through imitation.
Mm.
As a kid, as we are learning, that's one. So we all have auditory, visual and kinesthetic.
Okay.
Auditory is the first learning tool that we have when we are in the gestation period or in the womb. Because that time, we are only listening. It's a ball. Mm. There's nothing. It does not move. It moves with the water within. Mm. Eventually, it starts having a kinesthetic, because then it starts getting limbs and it starts moving and it starts making action, and then we get a visual skill. So the visual skill comes much later, moment we are out. But we start seeing, and then the moment the visual skills come, we find that the child is improving faster because he sees. That's why we say the audio visual skill learning pattern or learning skill is the most effective. So some kids are born with that and some are. Now this was one part of it. And why did I mention this? Because we do expression by verbal and non-verbal, both the methods. So until we do not learn how to make words, we are yet doing it non-verbally. We are not making words, but we are making sounds, we are crying. So if you see, the development of the child is happening in this. Expression very important. As you said, we need clarity. Clarity about what? Clarity to communicate. Clarity to suffice our needs. If the baby didn't cry, maybe the mother wouldn't realize that the child is hungry and needs to be fed. If the child won't throw a tantrum, the parent won't know that he's uncomfortable about something and he needs something more. And then while the words start coming in, the comprehending starts happening. What have I understood after I see? What have I understood after I hear? What have I understood when I am understanding and then talking to the world? So expression is our core nature. If the expression is done in a, let's say somebody responds softly, we feel very different. Somebody responds very harshly, we feel different. Somebody responds with a lot of aggression, we feel differently. Now, if we respond with a lot of love, we are going to feel more accommodated and more accepted. Fun is a very important element of way of life, living way of life. And fun, not just for only feeling, but for eyes, ears, nose, taste in some form, everything. See, our food, when it does not have a very good color, we do not get attracted to it. Because we have a gift of garnishing, decorating, we are understanding that our food also needs to look colorful. Our places need to look colorful. Our dressing needs to be colorful. Our home needs to be in a certain color. So art is helping us to understand and comprehend what we are expressing and what we are also taking as expression. Because nobody's house is black and white. Nobody's wardrobe is black and white.
It's not fun.
It's not fun.
And by nature, we are not so binary, you know.
Yes.
We are not binary. And we require fun. I mean, look at the kindergarten level is full of colors and shape and learning is more fun. We don't continue that same method till the end. I wish we do that.
Right. Sarita, in today's times, technology is so much present in our lives. I mean, right, I had been to a technology fair just last month, and you had all these apps which said, oh, give your child the stylus, let them draw, let them explore the world, let them connect with other artists in the entire universe. All these tools make it very make art itself very interesting for the child, but at the same time you just mentioned that art is much more than crayons. It's much more than it's all about different mediums, different environments. So how should we balance it as a parent? Should we give technology to explore art? Because yes, going ahead, they would be doing that, using it. But at what stage, what age is that appropriate?
Very important. And I think that's a very wonderful question, because there are, I found a lot of parents feeling very limited about how to go and help the child in learning. And because technology is a very, it gives you a click of a button result, it becomes an easy mode of engaging the child without the parent getting engaged in some or the other way. And nothing wrong in that, because a lot of parents today are working and are busy. But let's also reflect back on when is technology important? How much of technology should be a part of the growing time of the year of the child? Will the technology go away if we do not teach them in the earlier ages? And can we wait till they start learning to handle technology only when it is needed, because it is just a tool? Let me go back to when I said about the sensory. When the sensories are there, they are actually gadgets all on our body. Eyes hai, ears hai, nose hai, lips hai, skin everywhere there. There are certain points on our body which we either call it acupuncture points or puncture points or connectivity points, or in a very simple language, they are the receivers, or they are, so these work as receivers, but they need something to give an input. So there's a lot of input coming from everywhere, but we need something to make them better every time or keep them in good function every time. Yeah. And they all are present. All the sensories related points of connection are present on our fingers. Very simple understanding. Five fingers.
All of them are on our hands. I didn't know that because I always thought that eyes, ears, their skin, touch, taste, they're away.
All of them are on our hands, and I'll tell you which where it is also. So we have two hands, so 10 fingers. So you don't have 10 sensories. We have, our brain is divided into two halves. The right side of the brain connects to the left side, left hand, and the vice versa. So when I am, so the little finger is our visual finger. Okay. Yeah. Then our middle finger, the ring finger, is our auditory finger. The middle finger is our body kinesthetic completely. So these three become our learning support system.
Okay.
And our pointer finger becomes our thought process. How do you process, articulate, all of it. And our thumb becomes our space. That is me, myself, and my understanding about myself and my identity, and that is my space. So thumb becomes the space. So if we look at the five things, and if I say there are points on it, we see there are some chakras and shankars and ovals and patterns on our body. What are these patterns? These are patterns which are there on our brain lobes, we can say. We can't open the brain and see every time, but they are connected here. In our in the whole science of dermatographics, that is derms, is skin.
Yeah.
There are patterns, so they have certain characteristics. Skin has cells and they connect. So that's where we touch, we feel, we understand. Third thing is these tips of the fingers are actually connecting to, so going back to what I was also mentioning was, we have mudras in our we practice in our
dance,
yoga and
dance as well.
So whichever culture you go to, the Chinese culture, they believe in energy, and they believe in the energy flow, and that's the qi energy. That's why they do qigong exercises. If you go to the Western culture, there's a lot of body movement that happens through dance and certain things. And today I feel the Western culture is more on the toes, because they do not have support system. What does that mean? No maids, no nothing. They are supposed to do it by their hands. That means they're working with their hands. They are connecting. And we in the Indian culture, the Asian culture, a lot of things are done by hand.
Yes.
If you look at the Japanese, they do a lot of work by hand. If you look at the Hindu mythology and the Hindu ritual, right from the morning that we wake up, putting rangoli, we are using the two fingers, we are brushing the teeth, we are doing everything with our fingers.
Yes.
You are kneading the dough, fingers. We are folding the clothes, fingers. You do origami, fingers.
We even eat with our fingers.
You cook, fingers. We eat with our fingers. We chop with the fingers. What is happening? We write. No, the moment our fingers are in action, they are connecting with each other. By unconsciously, we are also creating mudras for ourselves. We are getting in touch with materials and things. And we are stimulating the pointers on our fingers. Mm. And now, if the pointers on the fingers during the kid's development are in the growing stage and we do not give them enough to do with the hands, and we do not adopt hand things done versus technology, we are not introducing them to connect to themselves and things around them.
Wow.
So lesser the technology, best is the child's growth. Mm. Because while I'm connecting with things around and myself, I'm also creating neuro patterns in my brain.
It is today that I really understood the importance of sensory play. Every school says that, everybody encourages it, do sensory play even before going to bed. But I never understood why. Thanks a lot for giving clarity.
Thank you so much. Yes, I mean, we can't highlight enough why kids should do things with their hands. Why should they pick up, drop? It's okay. As parents, we should not worry about them spilling, falling down, because it is just going to develop their the connections in their brain.
Sensory.
And yes.
Yes.
So thank you.
And the more the patterns that happen, in the brain, which are could be, we tag them as mistakes, we tag them as you'll get hurt, we tag them as very garam hai. So we are giving them those sensories, but we are also saying we are being overprotective by not allowing them to do certain things. So can they be done in a very simple way? And it can be done everywhere. So again, coming back to why art is important. So the more fun way you do, more colorful you do, more shapes you are introducing to them, more textures you are introducing to them, they are not going to feel, their neuro patterns are developing. Because not to forget, one major thing which I would want to mention over here for every parent that who's here listening to this is, in the gestation period, the brain develops only 60%. And when the baby is born, the brain is already cultured, conditioned 60%. We get a lifelong of 100 years to develop and create new patterns. I mean it. And to create new patterns in the next 40%. And the 40% may, if I'm looking at 40%, the 60% of that 40%, is during when the child is growing from his 1 year to 8 years old. So by the time he's 8 years old, 60% of the 40% is developed. Till 14 years, 20% developed. And then remaining 20% all lifelong. So we have the bandwidth to create multiple neuro patterns in the child's brain in the form of experiences till he's age of 14. And 1 to 8 becomes even more crucial.
That's the entire reason why we need to focus a lot on the way we are bringing them up, on the kind of exposures we are giving them.
I did not know that 60% of this is already developed before they come out of our, you know. So it's amazing. Like, because 60% is already developed, that is why you see, you know, little bit inclinations of the child responding to music, responding to dance, responding to certain sounds, voices, maybe colors as they grow, because they are, you know, the prints have been formed already, maybe. Just drawing conclusions out of this, you know, what we're talking about, what you've told us.
So Himani, just taking it ahead, just taking this ahead, something more very interesting is that in that 60% that is developed, when does it develop? And that 60% I'll break a little more.
Right.
Yeah, that 60% may, things coming from DNA and ancestors is just 40 of that 60%. I mean, if I'm looking at 40% of that 60%, and the 60% remaining is the environment that you give to that womb. And that's why we call Garbha Samskar. So what the mothers can do during the gestation period is, you know, a lot of cultures say, do as much as you can with your hands, with your body in that period of time, because you're already giving that neuro pattern in the form of environment to the womb in a very beautiful way.
Wow. Actually, now I feel that science doesn't exist. It's only art.
No, art is also science, by the way. Art is also science, because without logic, art can't happen. Without mechanisms, art can't happen. Without chemistry, art can't happen. Without math, art can't happen. Without history, art can't happen. Without psychology, art can't happen. So when the moment art and the other subjects come together and they are integrated, creativity starts happening.
So now tell us, what can parents do, you know, to get their kids started on this beautiful journey?
Yeah, parents can give quality time, and during the quality time, actually do a lot of hands-on in form of everything. So art can be also like, while they're kneading the dough, they give a small dough to the child to do something about it and not bother about messing. When they're eating, when they start eating, spoon is one part, but can they start eating by hand? Can they give a plate of grains? You know, I remember something very important. Today we don't follow all that, because we have a lot of support system at home, maids are there, secular families. I remember when my grandmother used to sit with a heap of gehu and rice, kneading it and separating it. We were not kneading and separating it and all that. We were playing with it, and we were making a flat thing and drawing in it, and making a tower and all of it. Well, that environment was there earlier. Today it's not there so much.
Today it like is very,
if you're
convenience driven. So we buy everything in a packet and we just use it. So hardly we touch or change the form of most of the products which we buy.
Most of the things, yeah. So great. Today let's go with what we have today. Maybe give the child a jar in which you want the pulses to be put, give him the packet of pulse, open it for him and let him pour it. Aadha gir jayega, let him collect it and put it back again. I mean, it can be as simple as an art. When I say 60%, okay. So we are all surrounded by a lot of man-made things, and technology also becomes a man-made. But we should not forget that we are not man-made. We are nature. And everything that is around, we consume nature. We don't consume man-made things. Food, we have made an art out of it to consume. If it was not art, we wouldn't have consumed. So that's one part of it. Secondly, then while the child is growing, the biggest thing that I feel is pull the child out of man-made things and put them into nature. So something as simple as, so let them play in mud, let them be in ponds, they will let them collect leaves, put the leaves together and see how many different colors they have. Can you grind the leaves and then make colors out of it? Can they just go and touch every single thing and not be feel that, oh, it is going to be infectious, it's going to have we have all the facilities to come back home and wash the hands and sanitize it. The more they are in nature by touching, can you all collect stones and put them all together and create a tower? They'll learn balancing, they'll learn texture, they'll learn the stone is not very firm, it's fragile, it's soft, it's made up of clay or mud, and it's not a stone which is from the rock form. What are we doing over here is we are actually introducing them to a lot of things through nature and exploring, because nature is the most safest than even a lot of man-made things. It does not have a lot of toxins, but a lot of man-made things have a lot of toxins. The ratio of 60 to 40 is 40 we can't avoid because we are in a man-made world. But 60% if you are in the nature, it is going to be, in nature there are no click of buttons. There is no remote system. There is nothing ready-made. Everything has, there's no perfect shape in nature, but yet it is perfect in its own way. And they're actually adopting and looking at it and yet seeing that in that imperfection, there is perfection and there is nothing called as imperfection. It's a very... Absolutely.
It's so beautiful and profound. Yes.
It's a very beautiful thing. Yeah. And when they do that, they start observing. Because see, nature can be even pets around. Mm. Not everybody has pets, but can they just go and observe things? Can you all go to a farm maybe? Can you go and see... a shed of animals and see what it is, how do they, and let them observe and see what is happening, because nature teaches a lot than what we do.
Mm-hmm. What is,
and we take the credit that I have taught and groomed my child this way. It's a crown of ego that we wear, I feel. And there is much more that they're learning around. So learning will be very natural over there in nature.
What is a bare minimum a parent should, you know, until what age? The 60% ratio has to be, maybe you can say, strictly followed. Or, you know, at least for 5 years.
All lifelong. What is...
no,
because... Lifelong.
Urban people
when they are... See, there are... There could be multiple other ways also. Let's say a parent is engaged with jobs and their work. And can they create nature around them? Maybe they have small gardens, have plants, use as much as natural things in their everyday life. Take them to vegetable markets. That's one of the things.
Instead of ordering vegetables home.
Exactly. So let them feel, let them touch. That is one part. Reduce online shopping and go and collect the fabric and clothes maybe. I mean, what I'm trying to say is, can the nature be a part of everyday's life if you are not completely able to spend so much of time in the nature? Yes.
Right.
And if you're fortunate, then... Why do we take kids to the gardens in urban cities, urban life? There are no gardens in village. Are you realizing that?
Yes.
So it's a created nature, isn't it?
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
We just, these things just go unnoticed and they become so glamorous that they lose the... purpose of why is it there in the first place. So yes. Thank you for that reminder.
And I also believe that as parents, we so many times keep on checking the labels. What age group is this for? Is it safe for my child? Is it toxin free? Is it BPA free? Is it this and that? And since outdoors, closer to nature, doesn't come with any labels, we become anxious that is it safe for my child? What if he gets bites, rashes, this and that? And that keeps us away. Whereas when we keep them away, we actually keep the learning also away.
Very true. Yeah. What I feel is, you know, the more you allow them to do a lot of experiential things which is around us, the more the inhibitions, the compartmentalization, the good and bad, judgments, all goes away. Today, if I see a lot of young adults or younger kids, which are bigger than that, are more glued to Instagram and all of it, Facebook, Instagram, all the social media, which is not natural in any form, is only leading them to a life of, will I be judged? Will I be appreciated? Will I have these many followers? Will I have these many likes? Is my post getting liked? And what is being posted is all about them. There is nothing posted which is more for others. It's all about them. A lot of identity crisis. So to not have these identity crisis, if they learn through fun and from the nature, if you leave them to the nature, you'll find them, they are okay with it. You will not even need to tell them what is mating, because they will see a animal mating, and it will not be an awkward situation to tell them that's a natural thing. And it's a very simple way of looking at life and not complicate. We all complicate a life. Adults complicate a life too much. I feel everything is art. Nurturing is art. Caring is art. Love is art. Expressing is art. Giving something to someone is art. Absorbing is art. Building something is art. Construction is art. Even destruction is art. And destruction does not mean something wrong, but when I pluck a flower and throw it, it will be destruction. But when I pluck a flower and make it a part of my flower vase at home, it's construction and deconstruction and it's art.
Sarita, you had also, the last time we spoke, and this is something which I had observed also, that at the age of 7 somewhere, children showed drastic changes in their behavior. Suddenly, they'll be very inclined towards maybe painting, maybe pottery, maybe there is a change. So, can you tell us more about this?
Yes. So, a little understanding is, why do we have 9 months of our gestation? Because the first 2 months, it's just happening, and the 7 months become the 7 phases of our development of our physical, mental, emotional being. This 7 ka cycle keeps happening. For the next, when the child is born, the 1 to 7, when the child is 1 to 7 years of age, the first year he's creating a bond of safety, security, foundation, physical development. Second year, he starts creating an understanding of relations, connections. The third year, he starts understanding me, mine, my identity, my gut. He starts taking risks. He starts going beyond small boundaries, creating his will, making choices. I like this. I don't like this. Fourth year, you'll find he started sharing, going into the society, sharing from somebody and sharing what he has, and sharing is also caring. And you'll find he's also caring. He started opening up. He's open to, and he's opening and receiving, and he's opening and giving. Both happened that time. When he's age of 5, he starts expressing in different ways and without fear. Does he express before? Yes. But now the expression parameter of the growth is getting more vocal. He's becoming more vocal. You'll find he's talking a lot. He's expressing his anger emotions also. Age of 6, you'll find they have also started listening. They've also started listening and observing and comprehending and responding in that way. We see the child has started speaking his mind and giving more understanding. And at the age of 7, he starts fitting into the world like an adult. Now that this growth is that is happening, if I go back to chakras, root chakra at the age of 1, sacral at the age of 2, solar at the age of 3, at the age of four, heart chakra. At the age of six, I said five, throat chakra. Six is third eye, and seven is the crown. They finish one cycle of development, which has already happened in 7 months during the gestation period. Now, the next from the age of 8 to the age of 14, you will find his second gear of development started. We say, kabhi wo bahut alag behave kar raha hai. So, uska first level, ye tha. Now, the second level is where he is all related to him. Third level, he starts relating to the world. Now, when he is into the mother's womb, everything, his root, sacral, solar, all gets connected with the root, physical development. When he is in the second phase, that is from 1 to 7, he's relating everything to himself. Third step of his life, that is till the age of 14, he starts now relating it to everything around him. And that's where you'll find there's a change. So after 14, you'll find he's now relating it to the whole society. So when they make friends, you'll find a lot of times our friends that have been formed from the 8 years to 14 years, if they stay with us, they stay with us even till our old age. Yes.
When we know all these things, it becomes so interesting to be a parent and watch our children grow, watch these phases, observe them and enjoy them.
Yeah. Only thing which I feel to mention is we are ourselves a beautiful outcome of an art form created by the universe, by the Almighty. And let us continue with the element of art through our way of life, and let us continue giving it to our kids and our siblings and environment through the way of life. So art is a way of life.
Wonderfully said.
Thank you for putting it so aptly, you know, and so simply for parents, and encouraging them to do it without hesitation. Sometimes because of the pressures of the society, and because we want them to be successful and the world is moving towards technology, we tend to just sideline this. We tend to ignore the cues the child is giving, and we try to force them into something maybe they may or may not be enjoying. So you've given us enough reasons.
True.
Not to do it.
Yes. And thank you so much for giving so much scientific basis to it, so much insights, that now every parent can look at art as their partner in upbringing.
Very true. Very, very, very.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
With this, we come to an end of this conversation. We hope we've been able to change your perspective and have shared a new perspective towards art and convinced you about its importance in your child's development and your own development. If this conversation has got you thinking and you've agreed upon at least one of the things that we spoke about, please take out a minute for us and give us a 5-star rating on the app you're listening to, and also leave us a review.
If you would like to get in touch with Sarita, you can follow her page Ritu's Composition on Facebook. And she's also available on Instagram as Sarita_learningcreatively. We've shared these handles in our show notes, so do have a look. In our next episodes, we'll be covering the topic of how to talk about sex to your child, how to raise emotionally intelligent children, positive discipline versus punishments, and much more. So loads and loads of helpful content coming your way with amazing experts from the industry. And in order not to miss out on any of this, please subscribe to us on the app you're listening to and follow us on social media at Partners in Upbringing on Instagram and Facebook.
See you next time with another guest discussing about another interesting topic. Until then, goodbye, stay safe, and happy parenting.
Happy parenting.
The content of this podcast is the copyright of the makers of this podcast, Partners in Upbringing. The information, opinions, and recommendations presented in this podcast are for general information only, and any reliance on the information provided in this podcast is done at your own risk. This podcast should not be considered as professional advice unless stated. Please refer to https://www.partnersinupbringing.com for further details.